Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
And we're coming to you live for the Built for Tough Studio. Boomer Esiason, Greg Giannotti. It's Boomer and Geo on the Fan, simulcast across the country on CBS Sports Network. And wherever you are in the free Odyssey app, good Friday morning, a feel-good football Friday. And yes, some positive energy, some positive vibes around the New York Jets as they beat the Houston Texans. We were talking about how that line stunk like a McFish. We couldn't figure out what was going on. Why were the Jets 2.5-point favorites? And I actually said yesterday I would have felt better about betting the Texans if they were -2.5 than +2.5, because it meant to me that something funny was going on. And the Jets came out and they did it. Didn't do it in the first half, but in the second half, you got a taste of what this team wanted to be before the season, which is a team that can score multiple touchdowns in a half, a team that can get after you and get after the opposing quarterback, 8 sacks, and you got a nice victory. And you also got a couple of highlight plays from Garrett Wilson that we'll be watching for years to come. So I'm not going to go crazy. I'm not going to tell you that they're back in the playoff mix or any of that, but it takes one, and they got one, and they got it on national TV, and all the crap that they have gone through the last couple of weeks. Last night, they could feel a hell of a lot better about themselves. Now, long week, and see if you can stack a couple of these things. Good morning, Boomer. How are you?
All right, G. I'm doing great. As a matter of fact, doesn't really matter what it looks like, as long as you win the game. I mean, I'm sure everybody over there at Florham Park is relieved this morning, especially after that first half of football. Oof. With Malachi
Corley
doing his thing. I mean, I don't know how many times we have to see boneheaded plays like that. I mean, this game shouldn't even have been close because C.J. Stroud played terrible.
And
obviously he was missing two of his most important wide receivers, and Aaron Rodgers had his two most important wide receivers. And, you know, I want to take you back to the Giants and Steelers game for one second.
Sure.
George Pickens goes up with the ball. He's in the end zone. He comes down. His right foot hits twice, but his left foot never hits. No touchdown. Mm. Last night, Garrett Wilson makes one of the great catches you will ever see. It's reminiscent of OBJ, of course.
Mm-hmm.
He comes down with the ball. They rule him out of bounds. But then they go back and they replay it. Somebody in New York decided that the shin hit before the knee hit.
Yep.
As somebody around here, and I guess part of me wants, I'm rooting for them, so I want that call to be a touchdown. I'm a former quarterback. I love offensive plays. But, I mean, honestly, the week before, George Pickens' right foot touches twice, no other part of his body touches, and they call it out of bounds.
Well, it was, though, because he had to get 2 feet, right? Or a knee or whatever.
But hold on. I know. The whole John Madden, one knee equals two feet.
He got
2 feet don't equal 2 feet, especially if it's only 1 foot.
I'm confused now.
Did you see the play?
Of course I saw the play.
No, I'm talking about the Pickens play.
Yes. It's a Giants Steelers game. Why would I not see the play?
Well, I don't know.
And we talked about it the next day a lot. So here's the difference to me. So 1 foot touches twice, right? And you have to get both feet in. He didn't get the other foot in. Not a touchdown. Last night, it was determined that 1 foot was down and then a shin was down. So if the shin was down, it was a touchdown. Now, if you agree with that or not, I don't know, but I mean, feel like that was the rule.
Let me ask you, what is the knee doing?
The knee didn't touch it.
So that's
the knee didn't touch it.
I have to say, I'm happy again.
Well, I mean, are you not seeing it? I mean, I know it's like
I thought it was simultaneously, but I guess because the Nika, I'm just saying, I'm happy that they called it a touchdown because I wanted Garrett to have that catch, and because it was remarkable, and you could see the athleticism of it and everything. The other thing that was nice is that his first touchdown pass he actually caught while he was running.
Yeah.
And that was a good thing, too, to watch him score a touchdown that way.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm sitting there watching this last night. I'm thinking, that's out of bounds. That's out of bounds. And all of a sudden, it comes back. He's in bounds because his shin hit first.
Well, I actually think.
I'm sorry. I'm looking at Al, and he's actually shaking his head. What do you think here?
I'm with you on that one. I don't understand. He didn't get his knee in. It was either 2 feet or a knee or an elbow.
Well, they say shin is the same. The shin down is the same.
I never heard that till this morning.
Well, it doesn't mean it's not the rule. You also never heard of Malachi Coley until this morning. Doesn't mean he wasn't born.
That's true.
I mean, you know, like, I don't know how that is an argument. I mean, it's part of the rule.
I mean, does it say in the rule book, or are we just assuming they said
it
shin?
No, it does say it. I've heard that before. And they said on the broadcast, because it's part of the rule. So, I mean, it's a silly thing, but it's shin is the same as the knee.
So, do you know, did you see the play in Pittsburgh versus the Giants?
Yes.
All right. So, his right foot touches twice. His left foot never hits the ground. I mean, I don't know. To me, George Pickens was more in bounds than Garrett Wilson.
Not according to the rules.
I want them both to be touchdowns because I'm an offensive player, and the more touchdowns, the better. And it's better for everybody's fantasy football team out there.
So you want the rules to be changed?
I just want it. I guess because there's so many nuanced things that happen in a football game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I was shocked when they came back and said that he was in bounds. That's all I'm saying.
Because you don't like the rules?
No, it's not because I don't like the rules. Because I thought I saw his knee come down out of bounds.
Did you change your opinion when you saw something differently here? Or no?
It's still, to me, it's like right on the cusp of like, what is that? I'm sure, I did not see any post-game press conferences. I'm sure Jerry will have all of it. But I didn't hear anything from the Houston Texans side as to whether or not they thought that that was really a touchdown.
Yeah, and it's also, it's like, it's anything too, but like a hand, right? Like, isn't that part, like if a hip comes down, like all those things are part of it. Like a shin is part of it. It just is. I mean, it's crazy. We went through, well, what is a catch? What's not a catch? I mean, to me, this one's pretty
obvious
in the sense of what they called. Now, you could disagree with the shin coming down first and not ahead of the knee if you see it that way. Yeah. But as far as the rules go, it's pretty cut and dry. They say on this one, 1 foot hitting twice does not count. That's a college touchdown. The other foot didn't get in. This one, they saw that the shin hit before the knee, so that counts as a touchdown. That's what it is.
It's bizarro for me, and I'm sure that the Texans probably see it differently than
why is it bizarro? It's just the rules.
The fact that both things happened on back-to-back, like one happened on Monday night, the other one happened on Thursday night, it's just strange, that's all. I don't know. I think I understand like the fans' frustration with the whole thing. That's what I'm trying to say, I guess.
Okay.
Like I said, I'm happy for the touchdown, and I wish George Pickens.
But what are they frustrated about? They're frustrated about that they don't like the way that the rules are?
I guess the way the rules are enforced or not enforced.
But they were enforced here properly.
Okay, don't argue with me. I'm just giving
So I won't argue with you so that you could talk about this that I totally disagree with, and I won't argue with
you.
Is that what you'd like?
No, just relax for one second. I'm happy that it was a touchdown because I thought it was an incredible catch. Okay. It really, truly was an incredible catch. And it ended up helping, obviously, the Jets win a game. So it was ruled a touchdown. So I was happy for that. I'm just thinking it from the Texans' point of view, from a Texans fan's point of view. We see it from this point of view.
I see it completely objectively.
All right.
I see it completely objectively. It's clear as day on the replay. The shin is down before the knee. That's what they called. So that was the right call.
I'm wondering if I'm trying to remember, and I've done 1,000 games. I feel like I watched 1,000 games. I have to say that was about as close as it was. And I would say I was probably 50-50 on it, But I was surprised when they came back and they awarded him a touchdown.
Well, the fact that because they called it incomplete on the field, I would say that it was a little surprising as well. But that one zoom in replay that CBS Sports Network has is the one where I said, wow, that's the one that they saw and they changed
it. All right, I see the shin is down.
Before the knee.
But let me ask you a question. White? Can I just ask you a question?
Yeah, yeah.
Where does the shin start and end?
I mean, below the knee. So,
and would you say that the top of the shin landed out of bounds?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
Because the knee starts and the knee is above. So,
I mean, you know, like I see where the knee is. But look, I mean, see where the knee is, but I think the top of the shin came down out of bounds.
Okay. Well,
I don't know where the shin starts and ends over there in New York. I'm not over there in the war room, as they say. I'm not sure. I mean, do you think that they have a medical advisor over there?
I don't know. I don't know. I'm happy the Jets won the game. I am. I'm happy for them. I'm happy that they won the game. And I'm happy that that catch was ruled a catch. And I think that they did it right.
And now, I will say the first touchdown by Garrett Wilson, mm-hmm. that was something, you know, because Aaron, he put it out there and Garrett was getting undercut and he came very close to being picked. But the fact that he caught that ball full speed ahead, the ball was just out in front of him, snags it with one hand, and runs it into the end zone. That's the Garrett Wilson I really want to see.
Yeah, and you hadn't seen any of that this season. Nothing. Even the games that he had where he had a bunch of catches, he really wasn't anything spectacular. And last night it was spectacular. And you had Aaron Rodgers with Devontae Adams having that connection.
Did you see the catch by Devontae Adams where he gets hit and mm-hmm. it looks like he gets hurt?
Yeah.
All right, so that is the connection between Rodgers and Adams in that situation because Adams knew what the coverage was and knew where he was going to be. And if you see, he slows down and stops, almost stops. And Aaron reads it perfectly. So that's the in sync part of Rodgers and Adams on a play like that. And it was a perfectly thrown ball and it was a perfectly run route. And that you love to see that. And that's something that we really hadn't seen. And then you saw a couple back shoulder throws last night that were connected on because that's something that they've had problems with. You know, they've completed some of them. But I would say that thank God for that second half because that first half was basically unwatchable with, unfortunately, all the injuries, the flags, the piss poor play of both teams, both, you know, offenses fumbling the ball, stumbling around. I mean, it was basically unwatchable.
Yeah, no, it was awful. And it was to me compounded by the fact that the baseball season was over and knowing these teams, both teams were 2-6, you know, the Jets going into last night and then watching that first half, I was like, oh my God, this is going to be.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Papaya. You know, and I was like, this is just like, we're going to have to go through November and December watching this and like the Giants might be worse. This is going to be horrible. Like, what are we going to do? But you got that second half. Now, if you want to try to project forward, the one thing, which I won't, they're not, in my opinion, going to make the playoffs. It's just too hard of a task. I don't think they're that good. But if you want to do that, you're allowed to do that this morning because in that second half and with the defense for the entire game, you saw they were finally capable of doing something on both sides of the ball to a good football team.
Yeah, well, a good football team without two of its most important players.
Okay, two.
Which are wide receivers, which obviously you see why wide receivers get paid.
No, of course. Because
they're game changers. Now, the other thing, too, is if had they won in New England on Sunday, it would have been a completely different set of circumstances. The New England loss could come back ultimately and hurt them, depending on what they do moving forward here. But, you know, that was the path. They had to win that. I felt like they had to win that game. They had to get back to potentially 6-5. And even again, they were talking about it last night, you know, how they see it, what are they looking at? And, you know, you got to go to the Cardinals. It's not going to be an easy game. You know, Kyler Murray's going to be running all over the place. And then you got the Colts. And depending on who you're playing, it's either Joe Flacco or Anthony Richardson. Which would be unbelievable.
Well, unless Joe Flacco gets hurt, it's going to be Joe Flacco because they said he's the quarterback for the rest of the year. So, and that's, you know, you would much rather see Anthony Richardson with the way, the display that he put on last week. So it'll be Flacco. So what, 5-6 is the best they could do going into the bye? And if they do that and they're on a 3-game winning streak, then the fan base, I think, is activated again. But, you know, it'll be a tall task because we've seen really, and since the first Patriot game, we have seen one half of good football from the Jets. It just happened to be the last half we saw.
And again, only 21 points scored here, but it should have been more with Malachi not doing, like, having the brain fart.
Yeah,
how many times do we talk about, you know, Kyle Pitts almost did this.
Yeah, I don't understand. What is that?
I put the ball in your hands, cross the end zone, and then once you get in there, you can do whatever dopey dance you want to do. You can celebrate any way you want to celebrate. But please secure the goddamn football when you cross the goal line.
So, you know, they talk about the hold everybody accountable. You got 10 million wide receivers on this team. This kid does that, gone. That would be my accountable. Seriously.
You got
a million wide receivers. You just traded for another one. You got wide receivers coming out of your ears on this team.
But
you don't need this kid doing that crap.
I know, but you see the kid's got, he's got speed. That's the thing. And you can see on the sidelines.
So did Kadarius Toney.
It's really hard to hold these kids accountable by sitting them down. I mean, because the last thing you want to do is you don't want to, like, negatively impact him overly zealous, because you want to be able to have him play football and be effective and be a part of the team. And, you know, it's inexcusable. I mean, maybe he should go play for the Yankees.
I mean, yeah, it sort of feels like that. Like, it just does. It makes no sense to me. And he's not the only one, which is another one of those things. It's like, how can you lose the sense that you have of a football field in that moment? Like, you can't go another foot without dropping the football?
And by the way, since it is my first touchdown, if it were me,
yeah,
I'd hold on to that ball.
Oh my God.
Let that ball go.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Man.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, yeah, Phil Simms has had an amazing effect on you. This commercial.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I hear, oh, my gosh, oh, my God, a lot.
Lately. Yeah, yeah. I'd do it.
Yes.
That's another thing I say in my private life, too. I'd do it. I mean, it really has. I mean, and it's a positive influence. It's something I'm embracing.
I know it is. So, if you're Malachi, you got to hold on to that ball. It's your touchdown. It's your first touchdown in the NFL. What are you doing?
Well, it's not. It's not.
I mean, is it a cool thing or something? Is that what it is? Is it like a cool thing to just barely get across the goal line and then just drop the ball? Is it supposed to be a look or something?
It might be. I'm not familiar with that look. But
now, Kyle Pitts really didn't do that. What he did is he didn't realize that he had Antoine Winfield on his ass, and he thought he was, you know, going in, so he took the ball away from his body and held it by his hand, and the ball got knocked out of his hand.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he learned a valuable lesson, and he was lucky. That ball, by a fraction of a centimeter, broke the plane of the goal line.
Yep. Got lucky. But Malachi Corley did not. But
it's a Jet. I figured that was going to be, if there were ever such a Jet thing.
Well, I mean, if they ended up losing this game last night and that happened, which it did, I mean, on top of the fact that they were 2-7, this would be just scorched earth type of day again. And I'm happy that it's not, honestly. I really am happy that it's not. I don't think the Jets are going anywhere, but at least gives you some sort of energy going into the next. I mean, you gotta set a goal, and the goal is to win out in the next two games before the bye. That's it.
Got to chip away.
That's really it. And it's not like you're not playing the Chiefs and the Ravens in back-to-back weeks. It's not going to be easy, and Arizona's been much better than I thought they were going to be, and you have to go into their building, and that's not easy. And they're not going to be favored in that game like they were last night. But, I mean, you get to 5-6, get that week off, and the rest of their schedule, I mean, there's
they can play with all the teams on their schedule. That's why I said what I said after, I mean, going into this week against New England. But I mean, look, who knows?
It's a humongous, and I don't want to sound like I'm backtracking in any way. I'm not. I think that they're done. I believe that they're done. I'm just from the perspective of the fan that wants to hold on to something in this season. You know, that's the way you got to look at it, is, wow, they're capable of it. It's in there. That second half showed us something we haven't seen since week 3. and you got a chance to, you know, 5-6 from 2-6 is a hell of a lot better. And then you get the week off. I mean, you're talking about, you know, the Seahawks, which is a team that's not that great. The Dolphins, who are a mess. The Jaguars, who, you know, they won a game last week, but oh my gosh, they've had an unbelievable, horrible season. You know, and then they've got the Bills in there too. But I mean, so that's the way you got to look at it. Now, I don't think that they're very good. I think there's a much better chance of them losing this week and then be completely dead. But there's a chance. That second half gave you a little bit of hope.
I think it did. Now, so remember I told you that when I was playing, the Houston Astrodome was a house of horrors for me? I think C.J. Stroud and MetLife Stadium just don't mix. I mean, he played there poorly last year and again last night. He missed open guys. I mean, he had guys wide open that he missed. Now, I also will say that the pass rush was pretty good by the Jets. You know, they got after him. And, you know, he was running out of the pocket. But there were guys that he missed last night. I didn't think he was on at all. And his the statistics reflect it. But I would also say it has a lot to do with the fact that Nico Collins and Steph Diggs were not out there. Now, Nico will come back next week. But you take a look at these numbers. They're just awful. I mean, he was sacked 8 times last night.
Yeah, and I give the Jets defense a ton of credit. Hassan Reddick actually looked like he wanted to play football last night, so that's another.
Oh, they're killing the interior of that offensive line. They're just killing it.
Yep.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Jerry Recco is here, and for the first time in a very long time, we're going to hear from a winning Jets locker room. What's up, Jerry?
Yeah, and a baseball-free report, too. For the most part. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. We are also brought to you by Jackpocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. So let's get to the Garrett Wilson touchdown as heard by Ian Eagle on Westwood One.
Rodgers in the pocket. He's going to throw. Left side. Looking.
No way.
What a grab! Garrett Wilson. It's incomplete. Kamari Lassiter in coverage.
So, Jerry, you're a football maven. What'd you think about that?
I heard Gio. I don't see where you see the shin in.
Well, hold on. Look,
on that angle there?
No. CBS Sports Network has a still shot.
Oh, okay.
So, if they could throw that up there, that's not the. Well, here we go. Yeah. Boop.
Right. Oh, that's interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, let me ask you a question.
Well, there you go.
So, is it the. I know where the shin starts at the bottom of the leg. Where does it end? At the
below the knee.
But below the knee. How far below the knee?
The shin is right above the foot, right above the ankle.
Yeah, but then it goes up to the bottom of the knee.
As long as it touches one part of the shin, I don't know.
The bottom part of the shin.
Does the whole shin have to get down?
I wouldn't think so.
I would think
Does the whole kneecap have to get down? No.
So you're saying that if the whole foot have to get down?
No.
Your toe, right?
Right, but so you're telling me that if his knee came down, his knee touched first, he would have been out of bounds?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm just asking you how you feel about it.
Here's what I know. It's a remarkable catch.
Yes.
And I'm glad that it's a touchdown.
Okay. I'll leave it there. I'm right there with you. I said that first, but I'm trying to think from like a Texans fan's perspective.
You know what's interesting about that? D'Amico Ryan's 6 minutes, I think he spoke, was not asked about it.
Yeah, because the coaches are going to say, and which they should say, is that if something is video replayed and it's overturned,
fair enough,
then the coach has got to believe that the video replay.
But even from the standpoint of, could you believe that he got in, or like it wasn't, unless I missed it, but I don't think I did. I went through the 6 minutes, and maybe the video I saw didn't have all of it, but it looked pretty cut and dry when he started and finished. I didn't hear a question about it.
It would be one of my first questions to D'Amico Ryans. Did you see the tape of Garrett Wilson coming down with the football, and do you think that he was in bounds? That would be my question today if he was taking questions from reporters, which I'm assuming he would be.
And then you know how sometimes phrases are like, they're not popular anymore. Like, we used to talk weird in the 50s. We don't talk that way. Daddy-o, thing, well, unless you're Evan. We don't say things like that anymore.
Yeah, yeah, we talk about this kind of stuff, language we don't use.
Like, when you see something and you're like, I'm like, oh my God, right?
I mean, oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. Right. Oh my God. That's our big thing.
Do you know he is making his mark? Phil Simms is making his mark on others?
It might have made his mark on me this morning in the open.
Huh. Kirk Herbstreit, now Michaels, while reacting to this catch.
What a grab, though. One-handed.
Oh, my gosh. Ridiculous catch.
I heard that, too.
That's unbelievable. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. And then right after that, Al Michaels said, wild blueberries.
That's crazy. It.
I love onions.
Yeah. Now he loves onions.
He might have said that. Then there's, I mean, all right, Kirk Herbstreit's a little bit older. Maybe, oh, my gosh, is in his mind. I don't know. Then you find out that Jamie and Sherwood was a lifelong Giant fan and loved himself some Phil Simms as he's walking off the field on SNY.
Oh, my gosh. Every win is critical.
I mean, this is like a virus. It's unbelievable.
This is the Simms effect.
Incredible.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty wild. So you had a couple of guys there, young and a little bit older. Oh, my gosh. So,
oh, my gosh.
Here was, right, even Jose Iglesias saying, Oh my God. Not
yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, but Phil does say, oh my God, in the commercial.
But he's not famous for oh my gosh.
Yeah, but he's like, Gio did the oh my God this morning.
Oh my gosh.
I know. It's definitely, it's an easy thing to pick up. It's an easy habit to pick up.
Just, you know,
sort of like a zin.
Phil was very natural in that commercial. So it's like, you can all feel the genuineness.
Oh, yeah. I'm Phil Simms, 68, played professional football, won 2 championships. Injuries and all that. Think about them almost every day.
Yeah. My gosh.
Here was Garrett Wilson. Did you know, think you were inbounds on that play?
I didn't. I didn't know right away. I always feel like I have kind of bad luck with reviews, honestly. So I'm like, man, it's close. It's really close, and I don't know which way this is going to go, but that would be really cool if it did count, you know? That's all I was thinking. I was like, that would be cool if that one did count, you know? So.
And it did count. And by the way, his first touchdown, as you guys also pointed out, was also a one-handed grab as he was running in stride pretty good.
You know what's amazing is the first play of the game for the Jets offense.
Devontae Adams was wide open,
and Aaron threw it out of bounds.
Well, but how about the whole sequence? Makes a bad throw, then makes a perfect throw to Breece Hall that hits him in the chest, and he drops it. And then he gets his clock cleaned, and then they're booing literally 30 seconds into the game.
Yeah, I would have been booing too.
I don't blame him.
That first half was awful by both teams.
And here was Rodgers talking about a great sense of urgency after the half.
You know, it was kind of season on the line there in the second half. Obviously, we wouldn't have been mathematically eliminated, but mentally, to go to 2-7 would have been real tough.
And what'd you say?
He goes, we wouldn't have been mathematically eliminated, but he said, but mentally. And I said, yeah, mentally eliminated.
Mentally out of it.
Yeah.
You're not kidding. Here was Sauce Gardner as we flip things around to the defense, because C.J. Stroud got absolutely clobbered. He was sacked 8 times in this game, only completed 11 passes. Here was Gardner.
Oh, yeah. We were just trying to create the hitch. You know what I'm saying? Rush recovers, that's what we always preaching. You know, so I feel like we did a pretty good job, man. You know, creating the hitches, letting the D-line go eat.
And they did, for sure. Here was Stroud himself. Got hit a whole hell of a lot.
I don't know what analogy I can use, but, yeah, it's not easy. You know, that's a strong suit I think I have is being able to move minutely in the pocket, you know, having those micro movements, and then, you know, keep my eyes on the field, be able to make plays. And, yeah, man, I know those guys up there are fighting. And
it just didn't go so good for them. So the Texans 6-3, the Jets are 3-6 as they snap their 5-game losing streak. They will be in Arizona next Sunday. Sunday at 1, the Giants play the Commanders. Here is Malik Nabers. No shock. You know, he's got a little connection, of course, to Jaden Daniels. He says, no shock Washington is winning when you see who their QB is.
They still winning games. I mean, I got my dog at quarterback. I mean, he's a great quarterback, so they're leading behind him. He's been doing a good job.
But why has he been doing such a good job and doing it so fast?
He's a winner. I mean, I don't see nothing different. I mean, he still is leading his team to victory, still taking care of the football. So, you know, everything I know that he's been doing in my eyes.
This has another one of these potentials to just be super ugly at MetLife Stadium. We were at the last one. Saquon Barkley returns. It is a total bloodbath. He's so good that he's being taken out of the game in the fourth quarter. It is that much of a blowout. And now you have another situation here with a team in the division on the rise, that it was the only team that you could beat were the Commanders. That's the only team Daniel Jones and the Giants could beat.
And should have beat them the first time, and they blew it.
And they blew it, and they didn't. And now they're coming into MetLife Stadium, and he's going to have another week to get healthier with the rib situation, where they play horribly and can't score touchdowns. And this guy's going to be running around, you know, scoring touchdowns with his legs, throwing them to Terry McLaurin. It just has the script feels nasty again with this one.
You would certainly think so. Cowboys Falcons on Sunday. This is Trayvon Diggs talking to the media about the whole
these nuts
things. Yes. This was him about, you know, on the outburst with the reporter, knowing that he did wrong.
You know, I shouldn't have reacted how I reacted, you know, so, you know, I apologize for that. But, you know, emotions are high. He just caught me at the right time, I guess.
And we told you yesterday, he gave him the nuts.
That's actually a very good explanation.
Yeah.
And a very nice apology.
Yeah, that's the way things should be. Yes. And that was even after he face-to-face apologized to the reporter. Colts-Vikings Sunday night. No, G, you'll be up for this one. Here's Anthony Richardson. The answer's a little bit long because there's a question in the middle of it as well as a follow-up. His reaction to getting benched for Joe Flacco.
It hurts. As a competitor, you know, definitely don't want to be told that, you know, you're not the guy anymore, you know, for the upcoming week. But, you know, it's all good. I'm using this moment as an opportunity to grow and just learn from my mistakes.
Would you do anything differently with the tap-out play or say anything differently about it?
You know, regarding that play, you know I can't do that as a leader, you know, especially as a quarterback of this team, and especially just as a football player in general. You know, I can't necessarily just bring myself out of the game like that.
Hell, you know, he's going to learn. He's an uber-talented young man who just has to nuance the quarterback position, understand it a little bit better. You know, one thing that we don't know is whether or not he handles the play calls and the formations and all that kind of stuff smoothly. We don't know that. And we do know that Joe Flacco does do that. And that may have been part of what's going on here. Plus that interception at the end of the first half last week, where they were and why Shane Steichen is asking him to throw the ball is beyond me. But at the end of the day, they're not getting rid of him. They're just going to let him sit. Let Joe do this. Joe could end up getting hurt at any point in time. You know that. And then he'll get another opportunity. But they're not moving on from him totally. I mean, Joe's 39 years old, for God's sake.
Yeah. Yes, he is. As Aaron Rodgers is 40.
Yeah, they're just trying to save. They want to save the season. They want to make it to the playoffs, and this is the way you do it.
In the aftermath of the Dodgers winning the World Series, they did light building, not buildings, but they did have fires and did all sorts of stupid things.
Yeah,
and
saw some guy blow his hands off.
A guy blew his hand off with fireworks, which is pretty stupid, too.
At least his team got a championship.
John Heyman. Yes.
At least that guy, if he got a ring, it's going to be a tough situation.
He didn't blow both hands off.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't there like a big looting of a Nike store out there?
There might have been. It was a mess.
Yeah.
John Heyman reporting that 11 teams have already reached out to Juan Soto, who's a free agent, as we know. We certainly heard that from him yesterday.
Did he give you the 11 teams?
No, but I think it's all the teams you expect them to be.
11 teams.
I know the Padres are apparently very interested in getting him back.
Okay.
That's one thing I did
read. They did really well with him.
Well, whatever. I mean, that was still a playoff team this year, and he should make it better in theory. I'll get to a couple of other things from baseball next hour. The Knicks,
the Red Sox reach out.
Yeah, I don't have the list. You tell me.
Blue Jays, yes.
Are you reading this or asking me? I don't know.
I'm asking you.
I just said I don't know. John, he said there were 11 teams.
What about the Rangers, Jerry?
I don't know. I do not know. I'm pretty sure the Mets checked in. I do know. I did read that. I don't know.
Think the Angels?
Yes, 100%. I think the Angels did, the Mariners did, I think the Rangers did, the Astros did, the Mets did, the Marlins did, the Phillies did, the Braves did, the White Sox, Cubs. Anybody else? What do you think?
I'm just asking.
I don't think the A's checked in.
What about the Blue Jays, Jerry?
And the Blue Jays. 11 teams, he said.
The Giants, definitely, right?
Oh, definitely the Giants, yes. Rangers, Senators tonight, the Islanders in Buffalo, the Devils visit Calgary.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. There's a lot of action in the control room there. It looks like we've got the Red Bulls mascot who is hanging out with Al and Eddie. It's a lot of energy there for 6:50 in the morning. He's been drinking Red Bull. That's why. Exactly. There you go. See, he knows what's going on. Does he have a name? Is it
what's the name of the mascot?
His name is Red.
Red. Okay. All right. Very good. Red.
Kind of makes sense.
It's yeah.
Kind of a nice color these days.
You know, I would have thought that was actually Sammy Steinlight in the costume if I'm not also looking at Sammy Steinlight.
Yes,
because
you are.
He's the only other person at 6:50 in the morning that has that type of energy. So very good. Yes.
So just quickly here, Al, because they do such a nice job. Why are they here today?
They've brought a lot of different gear for you and some foods and... he's getting me the information.
It is a feel-good Friday, so is, why not? There we go.
Very energetic, this mascot.
I wanted to give him a shout-out because, you know, they do great stuff for us. Why are they here? They're probably promoting something. And Al goes, they brought a lot of gear and foods.
A home playoff game Sunday.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Very good.
Who are they playing, by the way?
The Columbus Crew.
The Columbus Crew.
Crew, yeah.
Home playoff game Sunday. It's going to be
4:30.
Nice. 4:30. It's going to be nice weather. Little chilly, but it's going to be really nice weather. So a home playoff game. I'm sure the fans are fired up. So that'll be. And the Giants are playing at 1. So you don't have to worry about missing that game if you actually want to watch the Giants. So good stuff. Let's go Red Bulls. Let's go Red. Beat the Crew. I hear the Crew, they're just that's a really jerk team. That's what I hear, the Crew.
Ben Schwartz is trying to schween an Uber ride from here to the playoff game on Sunday on the Red Bull's arm.
This is not a joke.
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh.
See, you just can't help yourself.
No, I think I probably said, oh, my God, a lot, but now it just rings in our heads so much more because of the oh, my gosh.
Yeah, but I feel like you say it more now than ever before, and I do give Phil Sims credit for that.
Have you processed that, what it was just said?
Yes, I did.
That Peter Schwartz is asking the Red Bulls organization for an Uber ride to their playoff game? We need Red, the mascot, to just level Peter for that one. Just level him. All right. By the way, speaking of some of the employees and friends of the show and all of that, I got to ask you, I think we might have a double secret leech spot on our hands.
Oh, really? A double secret leech spot.
So we are on a text and from one man who will remain nameless. But this man saw something last night. And he texted us last night at 11:41 p.m. And he said, Big Zoo ate like he was going to the chair tonight in the Winners Brothers seats.
Definitely, definitely, definitely. Double secret leech spot.
Double secret
and
leech spot.
And we were not told about this. We were not asked about this.
So you know how this happened. This is why it's double secret leech spot.
We're here.
And we love Zoo. And if Zoo would have liked, you know, the contact for Sean and, hey, yeah, I'd love to go, we would have given it to him. Yeah. But I think this is double secret because who produces Joe Beningo's Saturday show?
Zoo.
So now you've got Joe and Sean, Leech Spot, put them together. And now Joe has handed Zoo the keys to the Winners Brothers experience. Double secret. Leech spot.
So, you know, I have mixed feelings on this.
So do I. And I know where you're going. I'm happy for Zoo.
You know where I'm going?
I feel like I do.
Okay.
Why? Because I feel like we share in the same. I could be totally wrong. I probably am. But I am happy for Zoo that he got that experience because he's a big Jets fan and Sean provides the greatest experience. I just don't like the backhanded way that it happened.
Well, this is why I have mixed feelings. So I'm looking at Red jumping up and down behind Al, and I can't get enough of that. Just such a bizarre look this morning.
Oh, hold on, take two coming.
He's taking selfies with him. Here's how I look at this. So everybody around here has met the Winters Brothers for one reason.
You.
Right. And it was my friend Joe Winters, who unfortunately during COVID passed away. God rest his soul, a beautiful man, a kind man, somebody that did so many things for so many people. especially within the autistic community, had one of the, you know, truly has one of the great companies on Long Island, okay? And Joe is a giver, and he would always say to me, you know, if you guys want to go to the Jet games, you want to do this. And, of course, I was working on Sundays, so I couldn't do any of that stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, initially it was Carton that was leeching.
Yep, original leech spot.
Yeah, he was the original leech spot. And then, you know, I know you're a Long Islander, they're Long Islanders, and they love you. They absolutely love you.
I've gone, but I've also, you know, gone to their charity events.
You've done all this stuff. You've done everything. You've always kept the pot straight.
And also,
and me and Joe used to laugh because we used to talk about keeping the pot straight.
Well, yeah, and one more thing, just a little another pat on the back. The Sayville in Portly Village or Ryder Cup, we took all the money that we were going to get for the t-shirts that we're paying for the t-shirts at Flag and Anthem, then donated to us and gave that to the Winners Brothers Center for Autism.
Which is awesome, which you always keep the pot straight. I don't ever have any question about any of that. So as this relationship has developed prior to COVID and all that other stuff, Joe and I would go on golf trips and everything. You know, next thing you know, they're on the radio station.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Ultimate leech spot.
Yep.
But it's been good for everybody. And now we find out that Zoo is slamming hot dogs sitting in the Winters Brothers seats at last night's game. And you know what Sean Winters is going to do now, don't you? He's going to say, well, we won with Zoo in the house.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So Zoo's probably going to get invited to the rest of the Jet home games.
I mean, at least one more. Yeah. So I'm happy for Zoo. And Sean, he can do whatever he wants with his tickets. What I don't want is it to seem like
Sal Licata with your buddy John Ledecky.
Yeah.
I mean, that is the worst.
I don't want Sean to be like, man, like how many of these guys do Boober and Gio know that I got to take care of at these games? Like, that's what it feels like, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and that's what I don't want to happen.
I know.
So, and I don't know how it happened. Like, did Sean reach out to Zoo, or was like Joe like, hey, you know, this big Zoo, he loves the Jets, he would love this.
See, and the thing about it is like, me in particular, I don't want to feel like Sean and Patrick and those guys feel like they're doing us a favor.
Exactly.
Because then somewhere along the line, we may have to do them a favor, but we do it out of the kindness of our heart and the friendships with each other. Not because we feel like they're taking Zoo or Joe to the game.
Yeah, so I want to make it clear that this is a separate thing. This is a Joe Beningo Winners Brothers endeavor. And even though Zoo is in our world and he's part of the Boomer and Geo family, we did not request or ask or have anything to do with Big Zoo sitting there with Sean Winters in the front row. Didn't have anything to do with that.
But it doesn't happen if it isn't.
I know. I'm just saying, Sean, you didn't take care of one of our guys yesterday.
Yeah, I don't want. Yeah, that's the other thing.
That's what I'm getting at.
It's like you didn't do us a favor,
right?
It's okay, but we just it's fine. But it's yeah, but it's,
this is not a like it,
that is a double leech spot. Like you can't believe.
I mean, this is really I went double secret leech spot. It's almost a triple leech spot. Almost.
Okay. And but just so you know, we do have spies all over the place.
Oh, yeah. Like, I wouldn't have known this without the spy. Like, I didn't know from Beningo or Sean or Zoo or anybody. We had a spy. So, yep. Slamming food like he was going to the chair.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.